welcome to the Sexiness Girl podcast, the podcast that turns dog training on its tail with a whirlwind of playful learning that achieves real life results. Each episode is packed with inventive games-based training solutions supported by our Games Club, the ultimate dog training membership with a team of pro trainers helping you every step of the way. Think of us like your go-to squad of experts. I'm Lauren Langman. I'm a top-level agility competitor. I'm a best-selling author, owner of the largest dog training facility in the UK, and a founder of the Sexiness Girl Challenge, a challenge that's helped over 130,000 dog owners get real-life results. Our team consists of experts in scent work, obedience, detection, search and rescue, tracking, and the intricacies of why your dog does exactly what they do, and so much more. Our mission, whether you're wrangling a bitey sharky puppy or you're teaching an old dog new tricks, we are here to help you be the very best dog owner that you can be for your dog. So grab your dog, their favourite reward, and a sense of adventure. It's time to transform your training sessions. Ready, set, play. Let's welcome you to the Sexiness Girl podcast powered by the Games Club.
Hello and welcome to Sexier Than the Easter Bunny, the podcast that gives you real life dog training results and human results too. Now, I have to say that was a little bit weird saying that one, Sam, because I've never said Sexier Than the Easter Bunny before, but it's our Easter Bunny edition and we are talking dog training distractions. Welcome, Sam. What am I actually talking about? Like, what the hell is sexier than the Easter Bunny?
I mean, really, we're talking about Sexiness Girl, aren't we? So we're talking about our dogs being able to disengage from the world and anything in it that might take their interest. Bunnies, squirrels, they're eating a hamburger on the floor, other dogs, people, you name it, whatever your dog wants to get involved in that you would like them not to get involved in, we kind of want to bring them back our way. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Let's think about some examples. So I'm going to think about some of the things that for my dogs would be problematic. One would be livestock. So my dogs are all quite interested in livestock. So they're all awake to sheep, cattle, ponies, foxes, things that are around here, like the wildlife or the stock. And I live rurally. For those of you who don't know, I live in rural Devon in the UK. And it really is a little bit tricksy in terms of stock and things like that. How about for you? Those would be just some of mine, Sam. What would your dogs find maybe their distraction?
I've got two Jack Russell Terriers. And for them going out in the garden, we've got a hedgehog that lives in our garden and occasionally goes back and forth across the grass. So definitely you can see the terrier kick into gear. And also weirdly, woodlouse at the moment. That's a new one.
That is such
so bizarre. But anything that moves and is exciting and might sort of flitter about really. So that even could be a crisp packet on the floor. You know, sometimes for one of mine particularly, she's like, oh my God, I need to get that. Super exciting. Whereas it might not be kind of appropriate in that moment. And you're sort of like, no, don't do that. I need you here.
And I would say for mine, another one that would be hard on when they really don't want to recall is actually if they found some food. So if they found some food and they're distracted by some food, and it could be a half-eaten hamburger, it could be where I live, it's more likely to be like a dead rabbit or, and often things are really not appropriate for them to eat. Like they're not appropriate. Actually, it was only recently that one of my dogs ate a mouse, right? And so one of the team here was like, all I saw was the tail and it was going down her mouth. And I was like, oh, dear Lord. And I was away from home. And it was just one of those moments where you go, I was not sexier than the Easter Bunny or the squirrel. And so there are moments like that, right? The distractions will get the better of our dogs and our recall and everything else, right, Sam?
Yeah, definitely. And I think what we're kind of looking at here is what sort of skills do our dogs lack there? You know, what is it that's driving that behavior? Because it's really normal dog behavior. It's just exciting stuff that they really love doing. And we kind of want to tap into that, but make it work for us rather than working against it constantly. And we just want to look at the skills that we can grow to help them understand what we do want. And that might be sort of simply looking at how do they find us rewarding? You know, do they want to come back with us? Do they want to hang around us? Do they want to be with us? And those are the sorts of things that we'd maybe be looking at when we've got dogs that are maybe not choosing us over the environment in that moment.
Like mega, when they're not choosing us over the environment in that moment, how does it make us feel as owners? Is it a problem? You know what? For me, the biggest thing is, and this is a great opportunity to say, sexier than Easter Bunny, really there's an opportunity for a brand spanking new course here where we're talking relationship. We're talking repairing and looking after the relationship. Now, if I give you a consideration of, let's take our human relationships. So, Sam, we get on really well. If I don't talk to you in 6 months and there's no sort of nurturing of like just even checking in every now and again, yes, you can step back in and it can be the same. But I do think there's a level of, it's nice, isn't it, to know where you are and to know that actually you do, I do care that I know that you're going away for a bit, or I do care that I know that maybe you've had a good time at work or a bad time at work, or it's good to be able to have those check-ins. And relationship is really important, but not only is it important with our friends, Matt, my partner, it's really important that we don't just have like, we have a working relationship. And so it's good that we have actually the fact that we're together relationship. And when we think about our dogs, so many people forget that relationship is the glue that holds us together in what we do. And I know that Sex and Easter Bunny, Sex and a Squirrel, it's all about the relationship that we have with our dogs. And it's about understanding that relationship bank account. Now, Sam, I don't know if you've got a second to just explain what is the relationship bank account. And maybe you could just put it into sort of context, thinking about your little dogs and how it really works in terms of relationship bank account.
Yeah, so I mean, as it sort of sounds, if you think of an actual bank account, so if you think about how in our banks we put in money or we take out money, right? And you can think of that in terms of a relationship. So if, let's say, I had to take my dog to a vet, and really they don't enjoy going to the vets quite often. They go there and they're getting poked and prodded, and fingers might be going where we don't want them to go. And, you know, they're getting the temperature taken, they might get jabs. There's lots of things there that might be a little bit upsetting, especially to a little dog that doesn't really understand why all that stuff's happening. That is probably going to be a withdrawal from our relationship bank account, because it's inevitable. We can't help doing it, but they're not enjoying it. And it's not a very pleasant experience. And we're a part of that experience. So we're taken away from that relationship. On the other hand, let's say that I did a training session with my dog, and I was playing some really cool games with them, and you know, we're having a really good time, and I'm feeling good about it, and I'm laughing at some of the stuff that they're doing, and they're learning, and they're having loads of enrichment within that. That's going to add into our relationship bank account. And what we want to try and do with our bank account is balance it. So we want to make sure that we're topping up and putting in lots, and we're withdrawing as little as we can. Now, we know that some of that stuff we can't help. We have to do that. We have to take them to the vet. We want to keep our dogs healthy. But we can look at how we can communicate with our dogs in different ways to create more input into the bank account rather than those withdrawals. And that's kind of how I would look at that.
Absolutely. And I think whether it's taking a dog to a vet or whether it's putting a dog back on lead, for my dogs, both can be quite punishing, depending on the dog that you're talking about. Blink thinks the vet's wonderful. She thinks going back on lead's wonderful. She thinks going off lead is wonderful. She thinks eating's wonderful. She thinks that water's wonderful. Blink is a very easy dog to reinforce and work with. Whereas something more like probably Tokyo, if you take him to the vets and he's prodded and poked, the next time he'll lie down when you go to the car park and he doesn't want to walk forwards. And then after that, the time after that, he won't want to get out of the vehicle. And then the time after that, he won't want to get in the vehicle. So all he'll do is he'll back chain that experience and he'll go, you know what? I'm not really up for it. And please, listeners, if you're here and you're thinking, I know that, or I've seen that dog, or I recognize that dog, or even if you know someone with a dog like this, the other thing I would say is please share this, basically. Please share it. The other thing I would say is if you know of someone who's struggling with their dog, or you see someone that's struggling with their dog, or you hear of someone that's struggling with their dog, please share this podcast. It's completely free. And the biggest thing is, I was thinking about this the other day, and Sam, I know I was just saying this a minute ago, I am so impressed. I keep seeing people out training their dogs. I've never seen that before in rural Okehampton. I'm like, oh my goodness, there are people training their dogs. That is because we are sharing great knowledge, not just us. I mean, people worldwide are sharing dog training. And I'm so glad. I'm one of the trainers, and I know Sam is too, that wants to celebrate other trainers. We lift other trainers and we want to celebrate other trainers. There are two ways to get to the top in the world, right? One is to build really strong and to keep building, and the other is to chop everyone else down and stand tall. We are not the chop everyone else down and stand tall. We're the let's rising tides sort of look after everyone, right? Like that's how we are. And I really love the idea that we share great knowledge and great content. So share this podcast, share it with everyone you humanly can, because we know. And so please, please, please commit. And that is why we do this podcast. That is why every single week we make sure we're here, no matter what, for you, giving you new content, new information, because we want to help other dog owners all over the world, you included. So share, share, share. But Sam, for me, the biggie is here that actually each and every time we work with our dogs, it's a relationship withdrawal, or it's a relationship addition, or it's a relationship sort of awakening. I do think that relationship is everything we do with our dogs, and we need to be a little bit aware of it, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the more that we can help people, because I think fundamentally, quite often, sometimes we just don't know how to communicate with our dogs. You know, we don't know how to let them know what we do want. And quite often we focus on what we don't want them to do. So I think sometimes that breaks down the relationship and we get frustrated with our dogs, and it's just a breakdown of communication. So if we can learn how to communicate with our dogs, and this is why, like you said, we're putting this podcast out there, we want more people to understand how they can talk to their dogs and help them through life. And ultimately that's going to be a dog that's better behaved, that's easier to take out on walks, it's easier around visitors, that is easier around other dogs, you know. And the more that we can spread that word, the better that that's going to be for everybody involved. Because ultimately, if I'm aware of it, that's great, but the person walking down the street might not be aware of it. So if we can share it with them as well, then everybody knows how to communicate with their dogs, then we've just got a better world with dogs in it, right? Which is really cool, and they get more freedom, which is what we all want.
So this is crazy, but I'm going to give you a figure here. Now, over 170,000 people, Sam, all over the world, have taken the Sexier Than a Squirrel course.
That's cool.
It's an online course. 170,000 people in the world have taken it. Now, in the big grand scheme of the world, that is less than 0.00001%, right? Like, it is minuscule in the big grand scheme of the world. However, it's still a big number. Like, it's a big number. Now, Sam, you and I have refilmed Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast over the last, sorry, not the podcast, the course, over the last few months. And I think it's bigger and better than ever. And we're going to say right now it's sexier than an Easter bunny. But you know what? I think it's bigger and better than ever. Like, how would you describe it to anyone listening right now?
It's insane. I mean, we were sitting planning it and it was just getting bigger and bigger. And we were like, okay. What about if we add this? Oh, this, we need this. We've got to put this in. And it's exciting. It was so much fun to film as well, because I think we're both so passionate about what we do. We're so passionate about helping dogs and helping people and helping owners for their relationship with their dogs. And I think we could really feel that excitement with our filming. And so I think there's so much love and passion gone into this that it's, you just don't want to miss out on it, because it is a cool course and there's so much value there for you to take away to be able to sort of help you with your dog in your life.
And I really believe that, like, we had a lot of fun and we also trained with a lot of different breeds, a lot of different ages, stages, sizes. I also taught someone who'd really done very little, and I said that was like a shock for me actually, because I'm so used to training students who've done a lot. And so yeah, it was mega. It was really, really mega. It was a really brilliant opportunity, and we've had a lot of fun. And basically what we want this podcast to do is make sure that each and every one of you know that there's that opportunity right now to be able to jump in on the brand new Sexier Than the Easter Bunny or the Squirrel course. It's completely brand new. It's completely refilmed. It's got completely new information. And not only, if you've already got the previous course, do you get to keep the previous course, but you've got the opportunity to get the new course, which I think is a really cool space to be at. Loads of new resources. Now, what sort of things did we cover? We covered a lot of real life. And I think, Sam, in so many ways, it was more tangible. So there are things that you can grasp at that are real life, that are not lofty. They're not sort of too out there. They're very, very tangible. They're things you can do today, and they're things that are going to take a very short amount of time. And I think it's really important when we're training our dogs that we don't make it too difficult for ourselves. And I know you've been exercising lots recently, Sam, and I know I train, but you've got to make it achievable, right? At first, you definitely have to make it achievable, especially initially, you have to make it achievable. And I really feel like we're Sexier Than the Easter Bunny or the Squirrel, however we want to look at it this time around, because obviously we're in the middle of Easter. What I really want to do is I really want to make sure that it's very grounded for people. And I think we really achieved that. We made it very, like, we landed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example of that, right? So going back to the exercise thing, something that I find makes it really, really easy is actually doing it in my living room. So the idea of getting all my gear on and my bag and my shower kit and going in the car or walking to the gym or anything like that, it bores me. I just cannot be bothered with it, and it often leads to me not exercising and not looking after myself. So doing it and being able to have access, I've got an app on my phone, it makes it really easy. I can just pop on there and I do my exercise, sometimes in my pajamas, I'm going to be honest there, in my living room as soon as I get up, or I might do it as soon as I get home, again, in sort of like just anything that I can chuck on, really. And it makes it really easy and accessible. So for me, online courses in that way, which is what this is essentially, it's that you can just bring it up on your phone and you can play it anywhere. So no matter where you are, no matter where you want to do that, you know, you can do it in your house, you can do it in your living room, you can do it when you're on holiday, you can, I've done it in my van, I've done it at other families' houses, I've done it outside, you know, because you can play those games outside. So the cool thing is you can literally do this sort of training absolutely anywhere, which makes it so easy. And I think quite often going to class is a little bit more difficult. And that's not to say that classes aren't valuable and there's not, you know, value there to be had, but being able to take it home and thinking about where our dogs are at every single day of their lives, you know, what they're practicing every day, that's where you those real life results, that's where stuff really starts coming in and you get real big change in your dog's behavior.
And I mega agree, because I'm exactly the same, Sam. Whilst I don't actually mind the gym at all, I've got no problem with the gym, I really struggle with 20 minutes it takes me to get there and the fact that I've got to be more like dressed and prepared and like sometimes brush my hair more than I have and all the things that you have to do to be ready to go there. I love the idea that I can do my Peloton or my other exercise workouts in the house. And I really, that makes, I think that the society we live in today is a different society than what we lived in 20 years ago. And I think this is something that we really have to acknowledge and work with. For me, the opportunity that we get to, and we really do get to do a lot of things from home, I love the idea of dog training from home. So the new course, you get to do everything from home. There's a super cool program there. There are loads of tangible games. There are some new games. There are some really, really, really well-established games. It's all completely brand new filming. There is nothing in there that we have used old material. We've used all fresh material. There's some super cool digital like aspects to it that are really exciting. There's some really cool worksheets. There's some really cool resources. I'm very, very excited, Sam. And I don't know about you, but some of the stuff we did, I just had so much fun doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that, you know, that was our kind of passion for all of this shining through. But actually feeling like you can really help people is part of why we love being trainers, right? So really genuinely just wanting people to have a better relationship with their dog and be able to transform those naughty but nice dogs to make sure they're not getting possibly in some cases rehomed, sometimes worse cases than that. We really want to help people with that. And so I think this course, the reason that we loved it so much is we know the potential of it. We know how much these games and this learning can completely transform your lives with your dogs. And for me myself, this is, you know, this is part of my own journey. I've been there. I was that person with a dog that was very, very naughty but nice. And these games have helped me completely transform their lives and the way that I live my life with them, absolutely for the better. And, you know, as a result, wanting to help other people with that, that's now why I also train myself and train people myself. So yeah, it was really special course, I think. I'm super excited for it to be released. It's going to be cool.
I really am. And I'm really excited. I know that like using and training different breeds, I think is really helpful for people to see different ages. I think it's really helpful for people to see. And so I think that's just quickly, maybe a few top tips on how to be sexier than the Easter Bunny, because we've just literally worked it through ourselves. Let's have some top tips. So my number one is going to be have great reinforcement. Make sure you've got what your dog wants. There is no point reinforcing me with licorice. There's no point reinforcing Sam right now with cake because she's on a health kick. You've got to reinforce people with what they really need or want. And it's got to be impactful and empowering and good value to them. So with my dogs, if you're rewarding Blink, then chicken or any sort of food, really. She loves food. Or a tennis ball. Don't give her a tug. She finds them offensive. Easy if you recall her and you give her kibble after she's just chased a deer. No, it's not going to cut it. You do need to give her something appropriate. So a chase game, a tuggy toy, completely different to Blink. And I think it's really appropriate that we acknowledge that. So let's acknowledge the differences there. How about you, Sam? Let's top tip you and come straight back at you.
My top tip would be work the dog in front of you. So a big thing I think that we tend to do is say like this will work for every single dog. But realistically, just like humans, every dog is different and every dog wants different things. So you're talking about rewarding, for example, one dog might like something that another dog might not see so exciting. So kibble might be great for one dog. Toys might be great for another dog. You know, you might have to add movement for one dog. You might not have to add movement for another dog. So just looking at the specific dog in front of you and what do they want, what lights them up, what makes them excited.
Yeah, I love it. And I would say, in addition to that, I would say my next one would be, you can play games everywhere. Don't give yourself excuses. Like literally 30 seconds, a minute, 45 seconds, 20 seconds, like little games everywhere. And I think that's really valuable. And so for me, intertwine the games into your life, because I think all of the games that we play in Sexy and a Squirrel, Sexy and an Easter Bunny, they are all really, really achievable. They're all really doable. They are all really... you're meant to include them in your life. These are not meant to take out an hour of your life. They're not like self-study time where you have to lock yourself away. They're things that you can do dancing around the kitchen. They're things that you can do whilst you're making dinner. They're things that you can do. And I know that you do this, Sam, when you're making your dinner and you're getting ready. Like they're things that are really achievable. So yeah, basically make it happen. Don't make yourself excuses. 45 seconds is all you need. Go on, another tip from you.
Another tip would be, look at what your dog is doing every day. So a big part of that is, if you've got a dog that is barking at things out the window and they're also barking outside, well, probably a little bit of that rehearsal in the house is leading to the stuff that's happening outside the house. So not just looking at how your walks are, but actually looking at everyday life and how does your dog live their life? And is that contributing toward all of those struggles that you're having? And we definitely look at that in the course for sure.
100%. And we really, really do. Like we really absolutely look through that. Now, I'd say one other top tip from me, and then I'll grab another top tip from you, and then one more from me, and then we'll do a roundup. But I would say for me, another thing with Sexy and a Squirrel is a level of a little bit of accountability and having a challenge. I know for me that sometimes, especially like if it's raining or if it's miserable, I mean, I do live in the UK and I live in Devon, which is possibly one of the wettest places in the world. I would 100% say it's great to have a little challenge. It's great to have something to stay accountable to. I love the, like, I've done the next day and I've done the next game and I've done the next challenge. And I love that. If you're not already part of our community, join our community, join Games Club, or join Sexy and a Squirrel, or join one of our Total Recall courses, or 10 Days to Stop Stealing, or any of the courses that will get you in the community. And when you get in the community, you can come and join us and we'll give you some challenges. We'll give you some fun. We'll give you some motivation. We'll give you lots of energy. And I love that energy that you get and that buzz you get from achievement. There's something really special about achievement. And it doesn't matter whether it's achieving a dog. I have so much joy in seeing a dog catch for the first time. But there's so much joy to be had. And I think that's really impactful. So that's my next tip. What's yours, Sam?
My next tip is just get started. I think a lot of the time we sort of plan, and you know, we'll look at something and we'll deliberate over it and we're not really sure if we're going to do it, and I might do it, but I think I need to know more information. The cool thing about this course is it's really accessible, and it's not expensive. So just get on it and then just get started. Don't overthink it. Just get going with it. Play the games. It doesn't have to be perfect. I promise that you'll have loads of fun, but just get started with it.
Really, really cool. And then the next one I would say, Sam, and I'll round it up here, would be have fun. Have fun. This is not meant to be curing cancer. This is not meant to be doing some of the hard stuff that we need to do in life, which is, I don't know, looking after a family member or dealing with something that's traumatic or having a sad time. This is meant to be fun. These are the good days. These are the positive days. These are the days that really, really count. And I feel that it's very, very important, in fact, vitally important, that we take fun. Like, it's important. Let's actually put fun high on the agenda. And if you're not having fun doing it, then you're not doing it right. And so actually all of what we do here at Absolute Dogs, whether you're looking at the Sexy and an Easter Bunny, Sexy and a Squirrel course, whether you're looking at stop stealing, or whether you're looking at any of our other 10 days two courses, or whether you're looking at our brand new Total Recall course, we should be having fun. And if we're not having it fun, then let us know, contact us, reach out, and we are going to help you have more fun. Any final points you want to add, Sam?
No, I think you covered it. I think that's my favourite one, though. I think have fun is at my absolute, absolute favourite.
You're so good at this, Sam. You're so good at this. Like Eliza, when she sees you, so Eliza's my daughter, she sees Sam, and it's like she sees her kid friend from school. She like runs over, he tackles her, gets a little water pistol, runs around the car, hides underneath it. Like she sees you and she just literally turns into an even bigger kid than she is already. And Sam turns into the biggest kid. Like a lot of
Yeah, much to my wife's dismay, I think sometimes I am basically a 37-year-old, 10-year-old. You know, I'm happy with that. I think life's a game, you know, and I think we're not in it for very long. So, you know, make it fun. Find ways to make your life fun. And this is I think dog training for me is just a huge one, because it's, you know that moment when your dog gets it? Oh, man, It's just cool, isn't it? And you get excited. It's like, yeah, we did that together. So it's cool.
When you get those moments where everything's been done and it's executed and it's just looking awesome. And that's where our challenges in the community come in. And that's where we want you part of our community. So if you're not already, where on earth are you? Get involved, come back. Literally, it's a very special space and there's not many like it. It really is pretty unique. Anyway, that was this episode of the Sexy and the Squirrel podcast. But today it was the Sexy and the Easter Bunny. If you haven't already seen, we've got a brand new offering in the course. Sam, if someone wants to ask you, should they dive in? They've already done Sexy and the Squirrel 1.0. They've got the opportunity to do Sexier Than a Squirrel, the brand new refilm of the course. Should someone do it? Should they take it up? And what would you say to them?
Whether you've done it before or whether you're just about to start your journey, get yourself on this course because it is epic and it is absolutely nothing like the previous course. Completely different, very much, I don't want to say better because I love the old course as well, but it is awesome. So absolutely get yourself on that course, whether you've done it before, or whether this is your new journey you're just starting, which is super exciting in itself.
And it is super exciting in itself. If it's a brand new journey, maybe you've got a dog who's got an awful recall. Maybe you've got a dog who doesn't want to know you. Maybe you've got a dog who is, I don't know, nervous, naughty but nice, barky, bitey. This is the course for you and this is the home for you. And welcome home. It is literally the best space to be. It's Absolute Dogs. It's the home of Naughty But Nice. It's the home of dogs that have behavior struggles, but ultimately this is just dog behavior. We can help you. And that was this episode of the Sexy and the Squirrel podcast. Thank you, Sam, for joining me. It's been epic as always.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been really cool.
And guys, make sure you share this with a friend, family, whoever might need a little bit of support. It's free. It's available. Watch it. Listen to it. Have it in your net time. Play it in the car. I cannot wait to see you for our next episode. And no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. All I am going to tell you is stay sexy.